We've all been there. You're standing in a museum staring at a painting and all you can think is, I don't get it. To me, knowing the story behind an artwork is a huge part of knowing how to look at it. I'm Amanda, the host of the Art of History podcast, where we view history through the lens of some really great works of art. Each episode, we dive deep into the bigger picture behind some familiar and maybe not so familiar pieces. Check out Art of History now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kids, welcome to the show. We are a family podcast dedicated to empowering a generation of kind and empathetic creators and citizens of the world. We are joined today by Miss Maria Biswalo, an educator and children's book author, here to teach us all about the kanga, an important garment that holds deep cultural significance to many countries in East Africa.
Hello, hello.
My name is Asher and I'm your host along with my mom, Kristen.
Before we meet our guest, we want to say a big thank you to Ezra and his mom for your 5-star review. They said, "Me and my son Ezra have a very good time listening to this podcast, and his favorite episodes are the Pokemon one and the Navajo episodes." Thank you again.
Thank you, Ezra. And thank you, Ezra's mom.
You're awesome.
And we also want to say thank you to Eartha Chang from California. Eartha said, "Love how this podcast is engaging and relatable for both adults and young audiences. Great educational podcast spreading knowledge and acceptance in our multicultural world." Thank you, everyone.
We appreciate you.
And grown-ups, please share Culture Kids with your friends and educators wherever you are. Your support helps us grow and create more episodes so families around the world can celebrate our differences together. We believe that now, more than ever, it's important for families worldwide to hear our message of inclusion, hope, and community. Thank you for your support.
And we have a birthday celebration. We want to say happy birthday to Luna Kim from California. Luna is turning 7 years old.
Happy birthday, Luna. Well, let's hurry up and meet our guest, Miss Maria Biswalo. Welcome to the show.
Let's go.
Mambo Zenu, Asher and Kristen, and Maria, and I can't wait to get started. So let's go.
Such a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for being here. Can you tell us more about yourself?
I am Maria, and I am mother of two bicultural children. I'm an educator, and I am also newly an author of a children's book in my mother tongue, Kiswahili, which is also translated into English. And it's called Kanga ya Mama, or Mama's Magical Kanga. And that's what we'll be talking about today, the kanga.
Cool. Is that what you spoke in before? Like when you said hi?
Thanks for asking. I actually greeted you in Kiswahili, and that is my mother tongue that I speak from where I come from. And do you know where I come from?
Tanzania.
That's right. I come from Tanzania, and there's lots of people in Tanzania who speak Kiswahili, but also in Kenya and in Burundi and Rwanda and other countries in East Africa also speak Kiswahili.
Thank you for explaining that. I think a lot of us are also familiar with the term Swahili, but could you explain the difference between Kiswahili and Swahili?
Yes. So Kiswahili is the language, and Swahili are the people.
Oh, so Swahili is like the people that speak Kiswahili.
Exactly.
So could you tell us what a kanga is? Mommy says it's an important part of Tanzanian culture.
So a kanga is a cloth that is worn in East African countries. It's rectangular shaped, and it usually has a border around it. And very distinctly or very specifically, it has some words written on it.
Interesting.
So Miss Maria showed me some photos of her family members wearing kangas draped in different ways, and they are beautiful, colorful, and full of stunning patterns. Wow. Could you give us a brief background of how the kangas became a significant part of Tanzanian culture?
So the kanga started as a cloth or a garment that was worn mostly on the coast because it happened or it came about during the trading of goods between people coming in from India and Portugal.
Hard to port.
So it really generated from there.
Got it.
It used to be a cloth that was worn by wealthier people or people with a high social standing. But in the turn of the century, that is the 20th century, it started to be worn by women in society as a whole. And so it became a unifying garment or a cloth that we could all wear. And then now, though, it's just worn all around. There's no household that I can think of in Tanzania that does not have a kanga.
That's cool. Mommy always says, in Korea, everybody has kimchi in the fridge.
Mm-hmm. And that's kimchi.
Like everyone. And I've been to many homes in Korea, and everyone really does have kimchi in the fridge.
Ooh.
That's a really interesting comparison, Asher. So how is kanga usually worn?
Usually comes in two pieces, and so people would wrap one piece around their waist and the other piece be worn to cover their heads. More in line with the Muslim culture, which is coastal culture, but now everybody does it, and yeah.
Thank you for sharing this. One of the things I love about Tanzanian culture is how diverse yet unified the country is as a whole. People there practice many different religions like Christianity or Islam, creating a colorful mix of cultures and communities all across the country.
Yeah, so we even celebrate all the Muslim holidays and all the Christian holidays. Those are bank holidays. I'm Christian, but I fast during Ramadan because we live so close together. It's also fun. You get invited to all these iftars, you know? And so you're like, ah, whose house are we going to for iftar today? And so growing up, that was just part and parcel of who we are.
Oh, I know what iftar is. Iftar is the meal you eat to break fast during Ramadan.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that unity, that oneness, and how the kanga really unifies people. And it puts us all on that same level because then, again, it doesn't matter if you're wealthy, not wealthy, whatever. But any woman feels empowered in a kanga.
Yes!
Because it's something that we all have and that makes us just feel that sisterhood, that togetherness. And so, yeah.
That's so cool. But it's not just used by women or girls. It's like for everyone, right?
Wonderful question, Asher. A kanga is a unifying cloth, not just for women in Tanzania, but just for Tanzanians as a whole. Because whether you're a man or woman, you have interacted with the kanga in one way or another.
That's cool.
So you mentioned before that there are writings on the kanga. Could you explain more about this?
So the writings on the kanga usually send a specific message. Sometimes it can be a cheeky one. It can also be words about loving someone or being thankful for someone or something. And at times it can even be used for a campaign. And that can be a political campaign or an ad campaign to advertise something. So really, it's a message on a cloth. That's what the kanga is.
Campaign? Kind of sounds like camping.
So campaign is when you're convincing a lot of people to believe in or support something, like a new idea, a person running for office, or a cause like saving the environment. People in a campaign work together to spread the word and get others excited about their idea or goal. So in this case, the campaign words would be written on the kanga.
Cool, kind of like a secret message. Do you write it yourself on the kanga?
It's something that is usually ready-made. And so when you go to a kanga shop, you go there with a purpose and say, okay, today I am looking for a kanga with this message. And it's interesting because sometimes the patterns on the kanga might not fit the message that is on the conga. So you really need to be careful. Sometimes there could be a disconnect. So you really need to be careful. You can't just go like, oh, that's a beautiful conga, and get it and not read the words and understand what the words are.
Like if you want to wear a conga to a friend's birthday party, it should say happy birthday, not like happy anniversary. That's like singing happy anniversary to you. It's like singing that.
Yeah. But if we were going to a wedding, or if we were going to a party of sorts and conga was the attire, then we would wear something that had words to sort of match the occasion. We gift congas when children are born, when girls are becoming teenagers as a sign of welcome to adulthood. We give congas when people are grieving, when they've lost a loved one. It's really versatile in a way that it can be used. But again, that message that goes with it is usually tied to the occasion in which we would wear it. So it's very important to make sure that your message matches what it is that you want to convey.
I love that there are conga shops you can walk in looking for a message or meaning. What a wonderful way to stay connected to things that are special and meaningful to you.
I would like my conga to say, hug a tree, because Earth Day is this week.
That would be a wonderful campaign to wear on your conga.
Yeah!
So we know that congas can be worn in various ways, such as a head covering or around your hips. Could you share with us what else it can be used for?
There's so many ways that I've seen it used. You put a conga on top, a bit like an apron. You can use a conga to carry your baby. And you can use it for diapers once they're very worn and nice. They get very soft. And so actually in rural areas, they use it as a nappy.
I'm amazed by how unique garments in different cultures carry such important messages. Take the sarong, for example, found in countries across Southeast Asia and the Pacific Islands like Fiji. Just like the conga, the way people wear it and when they wear it is also meaningful because it connects to their community's traditions that have been around for a very long time.
Awesome!
Could you tell us what the conga looks like? Like, what are the designs like?
The conga has a border around this rectangular-shaped cloth. And in the middle, they call it the region, is sort of open to other designs that can happen.
Yep.
Older designs used to mostly have geometric shapes, like squares and triangles and circles. But now, they really could symbolize anything. There's lots of floral patterns. There's lots of agricultural goods, like fruits, especially cashews.
Cashews, like the nut?
Specifically cashews, because again, the origin of the conga is from this coastal region, and that's where the cashews grow in Tanzania.
Cool. So fun and creative.
If we're having an election coming up, you could have pictures of the different candidates, and they distribute these congas to people with their motto or welcoming another dignitary or a president. Barack Obama came and we have the Obama congas. It really varies with the messaging, and so it's kind of cool.
Could you tell us about a conga that you like to wear?
I have one conga, for example, which is about women's rights and women empowerment. And it has a picture, just a repeated pattern of a woman riding a bicycle in a conga.
Awesome.
Like a woman dressed in a conga riding a bike.
Yay!
The patterns are far and wide and can just represent anything and everything.
And grown-ups, be sure to hop over to our Instagram page at Culture Kids Media to check out some photos of congas provided by Miss Maria's family, showcasing the different ways they're used.
See you there. Can you teach us some words in Kiswahili?
Yes, please.
So the first word I will teach you is to say mambo. And when you say mambo, you say this to someone who is the same age as you. So an age mate or someone who's close to age with you. And the person will respond, poa. So do you want to try it with me?
Mambo.
Yay!
And I would say poa.
Poa.
Excellent.
And if you're like me and you love The Lion King, you've certainly heard some Swahili words like Simba. Simba literally means lion.
Oh!
What? I didn't know that.
So we already knew some key Swahili.
Ooh. Yeah. And then Rafiki, the monkey, means friend.
Oh, Rafiki is Simba's friend. He helps Simba.
Yes. So again, it makes sense now. Next time you're watching The Lion King, look out for Simba and Rafiki.
There it is, folks. Simba means lion, and Rafiki means friend in Kiswahili.
Yay!
Well, that was so much fun learning about the significance of congas and learning some words in Kiswahili. Miss Maria, before you go, do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
So, this is for the grown-ups. You can find me at www.hadithizamama.com. That is HADITHIZAMAMA, Hadithizamama. And that is the same for my Instagram. If you would like to purchase my book or would like to ask me for more recommendations of books about congas or just children's books written by Tanzanian authors, I would love, love, love to connect and share that with you. So thanks again for connecting with us and for being willing to learn about Tanzanian culture.
Bye, Miss Maria.
Kwaheri, Asher, na Kristen. Bye, Asher, Kristen, and Culture Kids community. It has been so wonderful to be here with you today.
And to our Culture Kids family, what important message would you want to share on your conga? And what would you use it for? We invite you to explore deeper and learn more about the beautiful and diverse country of Tanzania and its neighboring countries. The more that we learn about all the different ways our friends around us celebrate their culture helps us to stay creative and make friends that come from all over the world. So keep exploring because great adventures are waiting for you. And of course, here at Culture Kids, you and your family are always welcomed, included, and celebrated exactly as you are. All right, Asher, you can go first.
What do you get when you throw a lot of books in the ocean?
What?
A tidal wave. Because, like, a title of a book or a tidal wave, get it?
Ah, title. Title of a book, title. Good one. Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
Why did the horse chew with his mouth open?
Why?
Because he had bad stable manners.
Yeah, stable table. But horses live in a stable.
You got it. Well, thanks for joining us today. So before we say goodbye, we have some cool news to share. Did you know that our collaboration with the Sick Coalition won a Webby Award for Best Kids and Family Episode? We want to say thank you to our friends Savline and Upmeet from the education team at Sick Coalition. If you haven't checked out the episode yet, please do so. Hit subscribe and don't forget to share Culture Kids with everyone you love. Till next week.
Holly! Calling all trivia nerds, Brittany here, and I host the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast with my best friend, Meredith. Is your next car ride looking like a snooze fest? We've got the cure. Three rounds of awesome trivia every week. Harry Potter, Disney, science, sports, you name it. No more silent car troubles. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Connect, laugh, and learn with your kids, big and small. New episodes every week wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast.